From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In the course of these studies in the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. The Apostle Paul preached that both Jews and Gentiles must be saved by faith in Christ apart from the works of the law, that they must acknowledge that before God they are sinners. The Jews objected, claiming that Abraham was declared righteous before God because of his obedience and his moral character. Paul countered that such a belief amounted to salvation by works, a position that was contrary to what the Bible teaches. Paul's gospel was based on the authority of God's Word, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message called Justification by Works, the Enemy of All Vital Religion. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
The text for today is found in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 8. I will give thee for a covenant of the people. Jesus Christ is himself the sum and substance of the covenant, and as one of its gifts, he is the property of every believer. Believer, canst thou estimate what thou hast gotten in Christ? In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Consider that word God and its infinity, and then meditate upon perfect man and all his beauty. For all that Christ, as God and man, ever had or can have is thine, out of pure free favor, passed over to thee to be thine entailed property forever. Our blessed Jesus, as God, is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. Will it not console you to know that all these great and glorious attributes are altogether yours? Has he power? That power is yours to support and strengthen you, to overcome your enemies, and to preserve you even to the end. Has he love? Well, there is not a drop of love in his heart which is not yours. You may dive into the immense ocean of his love, and you may say of it all, it is mine. Hath he justice? It may seem a stern attribute, but even that is yours, for he will by his justice see to it that all which is promised to you in the covenant of grace shall be most certainly secured to you. And all that he has as perfect man is yours. As a perfect man, the Father's delight was upon him. He stood accepted by the Most High. O believer, God's acceptance of Christ is thine acceptance. For knowest thou not that the love which the Father set on a perfect Christ, he sets on thee now? For all that Christ did is thine. That perfect righteousness which Jesus wrought out, when through his stainless life he kept the law and made it honorable, is thine, and is imputed to thee. Christ is in the covenant. My God, I am thine. What a comfort divine! What a blessing to know that the Savior is mine! In the heavenly Lamb thrice happy I am, and my heart it doth dance at the sound of his name.
Jesus, the very thought of thee, with sweetness fills my breast. What sweeter to see.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Now Romans chapter 4, we're reading verses 1 to 5. First five verses of Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and to him it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his precious word for his name's sake. You should never forget, wherever you are in the book of Romans, what Paul's central theme and his great doctrine is. From the beginning to the end, he is setting forth the truth in all its ramifications, that justification — let me stop and define that just to help those who don't have a clear definition in their mind. Justification is God's pardoning our sins and accepting us as righteous in his sight. And in due course we'll get on to the ground in which he does that, namely the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. But justification is God's pardoning our sins and justly accepting us as righteous, perfectly righteous, in his sight. And Paul's teaching is that justification before God is by grace alone, received through faith alone, in the merits of Jesus Christ alone. Now, wherever you are in the book of Romans, and I need to say this because people come to isolated passages in Romans and they extract them from the context and they build all sorts of weird and wonderful and fanciful theories on a misuse of what Paul is saying. Wherever you are in the book of Romans, never forget that every part of Paul's argument is as intimately connected with this central message as the parts of a human body are connected to the whole. You cannot treat with them individually or in isolation. This is his teaching. Now, this teaching of the Apostle Paul, which I pointed out last week, is not unique to him, but indeed is the teaching of the Old Testament Scriptures as well. This teaching of the Apostle Paul was greatly opposed, and especially by his own countrymen, the Jewish people. They raised every objection, every obstacle. They faced him with every possible argument. But the strongest argument that they had centered upon the person and the experience of Abraham. Now, in all of Jewish history, you have two towering figures. One is Abraham and the other is Moses. There are other great men, but these are the two most outstanding figures. And so therefore, an argument based on their experience couldn't be overlooked. And the argument from the Jews was this, addressing Paul, they would say something like, "You say that a man is justified by grace through faith alone, apart from any works of righteousness or any merit that he himself would have because of his work or his character. But we know that our father Abraham was a righteous man who obtained favor before God by his obedience unto the Lord." We know that. So if Abraham, our father, was accepted because he was a righteous man, and he obtained favor because of how obedient he was to the Lord, then your whole doctrine falls to the ground. That is how he was justified, and therefore that is how we ought to be justified. They didn't deny the existence of faith in Abraham or in themselves. What they did, however, was to attribute to Abraham's work, to his obedience, to his personal character, to his attainments in morality and uprightness, they attributed to those things his acceptance with God, his justification. Now, obviously, such an argument could not be overlooked. And if Paul were ever going to establish his doctrine, then he had to take on this argument head on and deal with the case of Abraham. That's why it appears here in Romans chapter 4 at this particular juncture in the epistle. Paul didn't have any difficulty dealing with Abraham because the truth is that his testimony and the record of his experience, far from posing problems for the doctrine of justification by faith alone, perfectly illustrated. Paul shows us here in these few verses that Abraham was not justified by works, but actually he was justified by free grace through faith alone. Indeed, he argues something even further. And he argues that justification by faith alone honors God and the gospel, whereas justification by works of any kind contradicts and overthrows all vital religion. Now that's a big statement. Anyone holding to any system of acceptance with God on the basis of personal work, personal obedience, personal character, or personal, moral, or spiritual attainment or experience, anyone holding that we're accepted by God on such grounds is contradicting and overthrowing the gospel and indeed all true and vital religion. Now, to establish this argument, Paul states three unassailable truths, almost self-evident truths, that are clearly witnessed by the story of Abraham. The first point he makes at the opening part of this chapter, verses 1 and 2, is this: justification by works leads to human pride and boasting. Justification by faith destroys both. Verse 1: what shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before or toward God. Now there's a lot of controversy right off the reel in the opening verse. What's its precise meaning? Abraham, our father, is pertaining to the flesh. As pertaining or according to the flesh, there's a lot of dispute. What does it refer to? You see, you could read it in basically two ways. Actually, there's a third way that I think hits it best, but there's basically two ways. What shall we say then that Abraham hath found according to the flesh? Or what shall we say then that Abraham, who is our father according to the flesh, hath found? That's how the Authorized Version has it, and as I assure you, I think it's right. But many, many scholars and translators will come to this and say, no, what it's saying is this: what did Abraham find according to the flesh? What does that mean? What did he attain through his own flesh? Did he gain acceptance with God naturally? Did he gain acceptance with God through his own resources? Was he justified by his own works? Verse 2 actually makes that an equivalent expression, if Abraham were justified by works. So this is one way of reading this, and I can see a lot of reason for it. Makes perfectly good sense, though I think it does stretch the meaning of the verb hath found to make it mean hath attained. But it's a good question to ask. Did Abraham, the father of all the faithful, did Abraham attain righteousness with God by how well he obeyed? Did Abraham attain righteousness with God by virtue of how religious he was, how upright he was, how good he was? Is that how Abraham attained acceptance with God? And Paul's answer is going to be an unequivocal no. And the first reason he gives for it is in verse 2, if he were justified by works. He has something to glory about, to boast about. And obviously, as I point out as we go on, that's impossible. However, I think the most common reading of this is the easiest and the most straightforward. Abraham was our father according to the flesh. What did he find? What was his experience? How did he get saved? How did he get right with God? Because if we can discover how Abraham got right with God, and this will come into focus very clearly when we get down to verse 5 and notice the wording of how Paul describes Abraham and how he got saved. If we can discover how Abraham was accepted with God, then this is the key to how we may be sure that we are genuinely accepted by the Lord. So, Abraham was our father according to the flesh. What does that mean? Obviously, it means by natural generation. But when you go down to verse 12, you'll see he's called the father of circumcision. And that is something that in the New Testament is very, very closely related to this idea of flesh. It was the mark of the covenant in the flesh. Abraham was the father of the Jewish people not only by natural generation, but by the covenant of circumcision. And what Paul is saying here is, what has he discovered? What was his experience? Let's look to him who is our father after natural genealogy. Let's look to him who is our father according to the covenant of circumcision. And let's see what his experience was. And the hint is, of course, here that he's the father of people. Not by natural generation or by circumcision, but by faith. And that's what he's going to come up with and deal with in some detail later. For the moment, what Paul is emphasizing in these verses is, having Abraham as your father according to the flesh will never get anybody to heaven. Natural generation was not good enough for Abraham, and it's not good enough for us.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.